Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Chasing the nuns out in the yard, and I'll run naked through the street with all my mask on, and I will never need umbrellas in the rain. I'll wake up in strawberry fields every day, and the atrocities of school I can't forgive. The happy phantom has no right to bitch. Woo-hoo!
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 368, a Memorial Day show. Hope you all had a fantastic holiday weekend, whether you were hanging out at the big international Mr. Leather or enjoying some bear pride. I know that the bears were slung up all over Halsted Street, and up here in Edgewater, I saw a lot of you hairy, cute men. And we have officially kicked off, as of today, the Pride Month, and the White House gave the Pride Month proclamation, Barack Obama. And just to quote a little bit of our president this year, he said that much work remains to fulfill our nation's promise of equal justice under the law for LGBT Americans. That is why we must give committed gay couples the same rights and responsibilities afforded to any married couple and repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. We must protect the rights of LGBT families by securing their adoption rights, end employment discrimination against LGBT Americans, and ensure federal employees receive equal benefits. We must create safer schools so all our children may learn in a supportive environment. And I am also committed to ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so patriotic LGBT Americans can serve openly in a military. And I'm working with Congress and our military leadership to accomplish that goal. So that is, once again, a lot of tough stance and big statements from Barack Obama, our president. And we will see, because hopefully many of you saw at week's end all the work that was happening with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal was passing in the House. And that will be a part of our news later on in the show. But also the defense bill also in the Senate committee. So we are moving toward what many people are saying is an eventual repeal of the 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Very, very exciting. And also, as I'm flying solo on this show, the Grand Marshal was named for our Pride Parade. And I don't know if, you know, I always feel like Chicago gets slighted. Like sometimes we should have a lot more pomp and circumstance in who our Grand Marshal is. And this year, I couldn't be more pleased as Shelley Wright, the country singer, the first ever country singer to proclaim that she is openly gay, that she is a lesbian and always has been, to quote her, will be the Grand Marshal of this year's 41st Annual Pride Parade in Chicago. That's going to be the last Sunday of the month, June 27th, starting at noon. And really, Shelley Wright has just been making the rounds. She has been everywhere. She gave a great interview on Oprah and had a very moving exchange with Ellen DeGeneres as she promoted her book and talked about how much Betty DeGeneres, Ellen's mom, had been integral to her coming out to her father and them reconciling and his feelings around her being a lesbian. And also just why it terrified her when Ellen came out and also empowered her. So I think it's fantastic that Shelley Wright is going to be our Grand Marshal this year. I just relate to her so much as a small town Southern lesbian. And she explained that the title of her book, Like Me, is really based on the fact that she, growing up in her small Kansas town, she couldn't find anyone like her. And I feel like so much has changed and there has been so much growth. And yet I still know that there are people in these small towns who feel like they cannot come out, who feel like they are alone. And that is just such a sad thing still in 2010. And hopefully with more and more of this legislative measures and rights that President Obama is declaring that he wants to make sure happens for the GLBT community in the upcoming year, the upcoming months, we will continue to eradicate ignorance and shame and fear around our sexualities, because we're all really just people who want to find love, and we all hurt and we all laugh and we all grow and we all want to connect with one another. And it doesn't really matter what our sexuality happens to be. So Shelley Wright, out front and proud, so excited about that. Also, there are two events going on this Thursday, June 3rd. One is the Out of the Office, which will be happening at the Wild Pug, brought to you by Baird & Warner. That's at 4810 North Broadway. It's really just a great time to kick off the Pride season for LGBT professionals. Just a networking event from 5:30 to 8. There's a suggested donation, I think, of $10, but you just go by and have a drink and meet other professionals. So if you're looking to network for your job, or maybe you're looking to meet other professionals, that will be the place for you to be. Out of the Office 2010, this Thursday, June 3rd at the Wild Pug, 5:30. Or if you really want to glam it up, want to go a little bit to the South and get a bit of a flavor of what it's like where I come from, where my people come from, then head on over to the About Face Theater Wonka Ball. The Wonka Ball is happening as well on June 3rd. But you can stop by Out of the Office and still come to the Wonka Ball. It's happening at Chicago Illuminating Company, 19 East 21st Street. And the party all begins at 7 o'clock. And if you want more information, you can visit aboutfacetheater.com. It is such a great bash. And this year, the theme is a debutante ball. So they're saying the debutante ball comes north and goes gay. Don't miss the Wonka Ball as well this Thursday, June 3rd. We are definitely into the Pride party season, and it is starting off this week. Today on the show, mentioning the party season and the Pride season beginning, later on in June, the Queer Queens of Comedy will be coming to our city. That's Poppy Champlin, Vicky Shaw, and Sandra Valls. And it's so exciting to have them here. And I've never had Sandra Valls on the show. She's a hilarious lesbian Latina woman who's currently touring right now with some of the Showtime Latina comedians. And I am going to talk with her, get to know her a little bit this show, because I've had Poppy and I've had Vicky on the show over the years, but never had Sandra. So it's a she's a first, and it'll be our first for both of us today. Also, lots of exciting news, more on what happened in the House and Senate this past week with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell measures, and much, much more going on in entertainment news, things you're going to want to stay tuned and listen for, plus what's going on in the theater scene. So let's get rolling into Pride Month 2010. Join us June 11th through 13th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest in Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds. Over 150 acts, including Kathy Griffin, Patti LaBelle, Joan Rivers, Lena Katina from Tattoo, Charisse, Amanda Lepore, Bruce Valanche, Jeffree Star, Snap, Robert Verdi, and more. Go online now at pridefest.com to book your hotel and tickets. Don't miss it. June 11th, 12th, and 13th on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Visit pridefest.com. We'll see you there.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The U.S. House voted 234 to 194 to approve a compromise amendment that many believe will eventually end the military's policy of discharging gay service members. The vote was the second major victory of the day for proponents of repeal. The Senate Armed Services Committee approved a similar amendment just hours earlier by a vote of 16 to 12. The fight is hardly over. At least two Republican senators have said they would support a filibuster in order to stop the repeal of the 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Both chambers will vote again after the committee works out the differences between the two versions of the defense funding bill.
Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida and a U.S. Senate candidate, says he now supports the proposal to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Crist, who is an independent, had previously supported the anti-gay policy. A new CNN poll shows 78% of U.S. residents polled believe that lesbians and gays should be able to serve openly in the military.
In Hawaii, Governor Linda Lingle has met with opponents of the civil unions bill before deciding if she will veto or approve the measure. Lingle, a Republican, has to make decision by June 21st. She is reportedly considering several factors, including the economic impact of having civil unions.
Safer sex activist Alan Gassman was found dead in his New York City apartment at the age of 47. A porn performer, writer, and director, Gassman focused on his activism in the award-winning documentary The O'Boys, Parties, Porn, and Politics. His gay orgies included famous closeted entertainers, but attendees kept the secrets of those who were there.
Memphis, Tennessee-based FedEx announced that it will offer health benefits to same-sex couples after employees requested the benefits. The benefits will be extended to all 225,000 domestic employees.
Men's Health and Details magazines have rejected an ad by underwear company To Exist that shows Ford model Andre Zia's bottom. The ad shows Zia wearing a thong from the front, side, and back. Out magazine will run the ad with the rear exposed in its June-July issue.
Same-sex couple Jonathan Howard and Gregory Jones were runners-up in Crate & Barrel's Ultimate Wedding Sweepstakes. Howard and Jones received a $7,500 Crate & Barrel gift card. More than 9,000 couples had entered the contest.
In Virginia, trans veteran Laura Bush, 44, may face resistance from her local Veterans of Foreign Wars chapter after appearing at a meeting in female attire. Bush, a retired 24-year Navy veteran, had worked with members of General MacArthur Memorial Post 392 since last year and received permission to speak at a recent meeting about being transgendered. However, Post Commander Joe Brady said that Bush upset some members and that under the bylaws, he can ask anyone who creates a disturbance to leave.
Gallup's most recent values and beliefs poll showed that 52% of U.S. residents find same-sex relationships morally acceptable, a 12-point increase from 2006. Also, opposition to same-sex marriage has decreased slightly from 57% last year to 53% this year.
In Indiana, the parents of a Carmel Clay student claim that bus driver Betty Campbell criticized their daughter because of the girl's pro-life and anti-marriage equality beliefs. Campbell says that student Rachel Zimmer told another student that his brother would go to hell because of his sexual orientation. Campbell allegedly told Zimmer, "I don't want to hear one more word about anyone going to hell if they are gay or if they're Buddhist or whatever, because it's none of your damn business." The Zimmers wanted Campbell fired, but nothing happened. The couple has since filed a lawsuit against the school district.
In Florida, gay teenager Omar Bonilla was elected queen of a gay prom after being banned from his own high school prom. However, the news was bittersweet as Bonilla's parents have kicked the cross-dressing teen out of their house. Bonilla ran for prom queen at his school in Pembroke Pines, but authorities banned him from attending their event. They said they feared for his safety. Bonilla was later invited to Pride Line's Youth Services gay prom.
In world news, in Zimbabwe, two gay rights workers were released on bail after being jailed for 6 days for owning material that allegedly insulted anti-gay president Robert Mugabe. They stand trial on June 10th and may face more jail time if convicted.
In England, a comic called Spandex, which centers on a group of gay superheroes, has been nominated for an Eagle Award in the category of Best British Color Comic Book. The Eagle is the Oscar of the comic book world. Past winners include the Batman comic, world-renowned artist George Perez, and Sin City.
Neo-Nazis recently broke up Slovakia's first ever gay pride march. Approximately 500 people took part in the rally, which proceeded through the city of Bratislava. However, about 80 members of the neo-Nazi group Slovenska Postpolistost attacked the marchers with eggs, their fists, and tear gas. Because of the attack, which happened despite a police presence, the full-scale pride parade, slated to take place after the rally in March, was canceled.
In Australia, the continent's high court has affirmed a tribunal's rejection of a 44-year-old Pakistani's application for asylum because it does not believe he is gay. The tribunal was not satisfied that the man was gay because in part he was married to a woman and had four children while he lived in the United Arab Emirates.
In entertainment news, Christina Aguilera has postponed her North American tour, citing a lack of rehearsal time. She has moved the tour to 2011 due to prior commitments she has made to her film Burlesque and to the promotion of her new album, Bionic.
Sir Elton John will not be the next American Idol judge. John was passed on replacing Simon Cowell. John would have received $33 million for the job, although it's not known if that money was for one season or more.
One actor is moving from high schools to adult vampires. Michael Steger, who co-stars on the CW series 90210, will play a gay prostitute on the hit HBO show True Blood. Steger will play a hustler named Tony who gets picked up by the King of Mississippi, Russell Edgington, played by Dennis O'Hare, because Tony looks like Russell's current boyfriend Talbot, played by Theo Alexander. Season 3 of True Blood will premiere on June 13th.
Openly gay actor Sean Hayes will host the 2010 Tony Awards, taking place on June 13th. Hayes is nominated for a Tony for his role in the production Promises, Promises with co-star Kristen Chenoweth. Hayes has been enveloped in controversy since Newsweek writer Raymond Sedute, who is also gay, wrote an article criticizing gay actors who take on heterosexual roles.
The hit TV show Glee has been picked up by Fox for a third season, even though it has not yet wrapped up its first. The last episode of this season will air on June 8th.
Mariah Carey has dropped out of Tyler Perry's film adaptation of Intozaki Shange's play for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. Carey's departure has many speculating that the superstar singer-actress is pregnant. Others attached to the film are Janet Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, and Felicia Rashad.
James Bond actor Daniel Craig did go to the Venice, California gay bar Roosterfish with a few gay friends and shook hands with a few fans, but he did not make out with another man. Craig, who has been dating Satsuki Mitchell for years, was not kissing anyone in the club. The Inquirer had quoted a source saying Craig was engaged in an open-mouth, passionate French kiss with another guy. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
Hello, Deb Pierce here letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks with sessions beginning June 5th. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, Visit midtown.com/Chicago.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 1st, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
For three nights only, Kapathia Jenkins and Louis Rosen in concert. The Ache of Possibility. Hot, cool, irresistible. Music that stirs the soul, says the Washington Post. Together with Kapathia Jenkins and Louis Rosen are breaking ground on a new concert mix of smart, sexy, pitch-perfect-to-the-moment songs from their three recent albums. June 25th through June 27th. For tickets, visit tic.northwestern.edu.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 27th anniversary main stage season with a world premiere adaptation of Neil Gaiman's best-selling novel, Neverwhere. Playing Thursday through Sunday through June 20th. For more, go to lifelinetheater.com.
The Queer Queens of Comedy hit the Windy City for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival at Zany's downtown Chicago, Monday, June 13th through Wednesday, June 15th at 8 o'clock. Starring Poppy Champlin, appearing on Showtime this June, Vicky Shaw from Comedy Central and Logo, and Sandra Valls from Showtime's Latinas Divas of Comedy. For tickets, visit chicago.zanys.com.
Writers Theaters, A Streetcar Named Desire, directed by the nationally acclaimed David Cromer, is the not-to-be-missed show of the summer. The Wall Street Journal proclaims, no matter where you live or what you're doing this summer, go to Chicago and see Writers Theaters' Streetcar. And Time Out Chicago gave it the rare 5 stars. Order your tickets today at writerstheater.org. Tickets are selling out. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hey, this is Levi Kreis, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
When the Latina Divas of Comedy were on Showtime, they showcased an outrageously funny lesbian, and thank God we were represented in Sandra Valls. Well, now Sandra will be a part of a new Showtime special this month, celebrating Pride, called Pride, the Gay and Lesbian Comedy Slam. And she's going to be right here in Chicago, for those of you who can get to our city or live in our fair city, at Zany's. Zany's Chicago, making a rare appearance with two other fabulous queer queens of comedy, Poppy Champlin and Vicky Shaw, both of who've been on the show. But she's a virgin on our show, and she's here. We're thrilled to have her on the Queercast for the first time. Sandra Valls. Hey, Sandra, how are
you? Hey. Hi, Mom. I'm good. I'm actually naked.
You're naked and you're a virgin. That's how we like our virgin sacrifices, Sandra. Naked?
No, listen, it's because you're calling me at noon, New York time, and mm-hmm. I have had a crazy, like, slew of shows in Jersey and the Bronx with the Latin Divas of Comedy, and I was just sleeping. I'm still in L.A. time.
Yeah.
So when I got your phone call, I was like, who's calling me?
Mm.
I'm naked in the bed.
Mm-hmm. That little tap on your shoulder, you're like, who's that? Who's in my bed?
Yeah, my voice sounds different when I'm naked.
So you're doing shows all over New York. How do you like New York audiences versus LA audiences?
I love all audiences. As long as they're laughing, I'm in love with them.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. Well, the Bronx was actually wonderful. The Bronx gave us a proclamation. Like a proclamation, stayed in New York,
mm-hmm.
and it said, welcome to the Bronx, like, you know, having a proper welcome. And we all got it presented from this man named Jose Rivera,
mm-hmm.
who was from the New York State Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. It's this huge, huge plaque, though. I don't know how I'm going to carry it back. We all were honored, representing Latinos, and me representing Latino and gay as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bronx honored us with this huge plaque and a hat that said the Bronx that I just can't take off.
Yeah.
I'm still wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love stuff like this. I'm really honored. I mean, I was brought to tears on stage. I'm so emotional. I was like, that is just nice when somebody recognizes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, look, you are paving the way and giving voice, as you said, to funny Latin women as well as, lesbian women. In this world that is so male, so kind of white male, isn't it? I mean, is it still feel like such a old boys club, this whole comedy world that you're living in?
Yeah, well, sometimes I get reminded, sometimes very obviously I get reminded, well, you're a girl or you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is from straight white male. Actually, I did a gig recently where this female promoter says to me, there are three headliners, and we went to Florida, and this female promoter said to me, okay, you're all going to close the night because we're three headliners. Well, the second night, I was middling, because mm-hmm. we all switch. And she says to me the second night, she goes, okay, tomorrow night, I've decided to leave the lineup the same way. And I said, hell no, I'm closing tomorrow night. She goes, well, I'm sorry, it's just that unless you make your act more mainstream, you can't close. And I said, what do you mean mainstream? She's she's like, splitting the issue. And I said, are you calling me too gay? She said, well, yeah. I was like, that's fucked up. I said, because you didn't call the other comedian who talked about, she said, lick a wiener. And she tells you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She tells you how to suck a dick. And she tells you how to do all these things. Not only that, her boyfriend happened to be in the audience, and he's a gorgeous man. And he came on stage, and she basically, humped him and ripped open his shirt, and it was one of these Chippendale things. Mm-hmm. But I'm too gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too gay, and I'm like, this is fucked up. This is fucked up.
And the gay people in that audience should not have to have watched that display going on with the Chippendale dancer and the girl.
Actually, in his defense, it was pretty hot. But if he can do that, so can I. I said, if she can do that, then I can get a girl and take her top off.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot. I said, well, whatever. Well, actually, long story short, I did not close the third night, but I killed, and more than half the audience was lesbian.
Oh, how funny. Oh, that's
and
great.
And so I go, at the very end, I go, well, before I go, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you all think I'm too gay? They're like, of course not. I'm like, just checking.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, people are like, well, you really can't talk about that. How can I not talk about, I'm not talking about how to really lick a pussy, which I'm sorry, it's a public service announcement. I should talk about it. We would have less divorces, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I keep it, somewhat corralled in and, unless the audience loves it. Here's the thing. My job is to make you laugh, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking about my wife or my kids or my thing or whatever, if I say dildo and you guys are cracking up, that's where I'll go.
Yeah.
Because that's my job.
Yeah, well, and every audience is different. Isn't that the job of a great stand-up comedian, to be able to feel who's in the house, what they're responding to?
Right. Of course, that's the thing. It's their energy. It's what they want to talk about. It's what they're laughing at the comics before you. And I'm like, I really wanted to talk about, walking in New York City or whatever, but I guess they're laughing more about, trimming the pubes, so I'm gonna laugh about. I have a joke about that too, that kind of thing. They're laughing more on the blue stuff, the comics before you. So you go out and you feel them out. Of course,
mm-hmm.
you always feel them out. And mm-hmm. the thing is, you've got to remain genuine to your audience. I mean, here's the way I look at it. You have your moves. Okay, let's talk sex here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
let's do. I love
you're
it.
Like, you're like what?
Mm-hmm. Naked virgin queer cast. Talk about sex with Sandra Valls. I love
it. Yeah, check it out. You have your moves that drive the women wild. Okay, this is back when I was single, because I'm a married man and I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you have your moves, right? You got your moves. But your moves don't work on every girl.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, you're going to please with your moves because you've perfected them throughout the years. Not that you're a whore or anything, but you know what I mean.
I do. Everybody listening knows.
Right, right. So you have your moves, but sometimes you're trying, you whip out your top two moves, and still the girl is not really responding. You got to go, okay, she's responding to this other move that I don't really think is a good move, but okay, I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
The point here is to have an orgasm. It's not like, I've got my moves.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to my moves. That's it, damn it. If you're not having an orgasm, it's your fault. No. That's what I'm saying. It's the same with comedy. You have your tried and true jokes that they kill every time, but then there's that audience that's just not feeling it or not understanding it,
mm-hmm.
which is the beauty of a good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I perform for gay and straight audiences the same jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was like Latino audience. I mean, we had 2,000 people in each venue. We sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you have this guy talking about mujeres, tú sabes, y mujeres, mi mami, or whatever, and this other woman talking about, you know, my boyfriend, whatever. And then I come on and talk about being gay and being Latina and all that. But you also have to feel what the audience, I mean, straight or gay, funny is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't change it, and they totally accept you if you are genuine and if you are committed and confident to the joke. You don't go out there on stage and apologize. Now, I'm not saying I haven't bombed a few times, you know what I mean? Earlier in my career, I was like, oh, shit, this is ridiculous. You do one joke, two joke, three joke, and it just doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't change my act. I mean, I have to explain a little bit more to the straight people, but that's mm-hmm. the comedy.
Right.
You know, like I said a joke, like, well, you know, I said my girlfriend and I were having sex, so I'm down here, and I basically crouched down with two fingers, like, under my chin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We all know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, straight people, I'll explain to you all later.
Yeah.
Well, I'll explain now. Fuck it. Actually, if you're going down on her, you need the two-finger insert, and they'll crack up. I mean, that's one of the dirtiest jokes I'd say, but, you know, you have, like, wives and girlfriends nudging their boyfriends. Like, see, listen to her.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It's a
public service, I'm telling you.
So was that ever a conscious decision for you when you started doing stand-up of how out were you going to be, or you just knew you had to be truthful to be funny?
Well, when I first got to L.A. and I started taking comedy really seriously, I had to have a feel of, okay, well, what sells? And, of course, I'll be lying if I said that I didn't doubt a little bit, like, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't make it too gay. You know, I shouldn't be so personal. Maybe I should be like Seinfeld, like, what's up with the, you know, Dunkin' Donut? You know, what?
Right.
I'm not that kind of comedian.
Well, because you could have definitely taken the route of just your Mexican heritage, you know, being Latin.
Which I did.
Right?
Which I did. Mm-hmm. At first, you know, when I first got here, you only got 5 minutes, and it's like at 12:30 at night, and you've been waiting since 7 p.m., and they throw you up on stage for 5 minutes to, like, you know, a couple of waiters and a couple of drunken people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really don't have any litmus test as to what jokes stick. And so, but I did some Latino, and that kind of sucked. But then when I would do a white crowd, it was how I said it. Then I would do a gay crowd, and, you know, I was like, well, no. So little by little, it all meshed together, and I've always just been myself, and I couldn't. I did make a conscious choice, like, you know what, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be and represent something I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Now, I'm not saying that other comedians should be like, I'm the biggest dyke or whatever. I mean, to each his own. I don't know their life and their struggle.
Yeah.
But I don't appreciate when certain comedians completely go the other way and hide it and lie about their sexual orientation. Like I'm Mexican, right? But I'm so pale. So people are like, oh, you're Cuban. Oh, you're Colombian. I'm not going to go, yeah, I'm Cuban.
Right.
If I didn't want to talk about me being Mexican, I'll just say, no, I'm not Cuban.
Right.
Which I'll never do. You know, I mean, I would never deny my ethnicity, but some people deny, and I mean, I speak to these people daily, and when I'm like, you're the biggest dyke in the world, it is, if you're thinking you're hiding something, you're so wrong.
Yeah.
And well, they still hide it. They're like, oh, you know what, I was with my boyfriend, and I'm like, your boyfriend? You're lying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't make some shit up, dude. Just talk about the weather if you want, or joke about, you know, like Seinfeld, these things that are very generic, which are funny as shit, but it's not personal.
Yeah.
But don't deny who you are. That's where I get really upset.
So who did
because
you look up
like,
to,
you know,
though? Because when you were, I mean, were there many Latin comedians or many gay comedians when you were kind of starting out? Or did you have other idols that you were learning the craft of comedy from who were neither of those things, but, you know, they seemed to do what you wanted to do through your own lens?
Yeah, there weren't any out. I mean, I knew that they were gay, like Ellen and Rosie and those people, you know, I mean,
yep.
You know, but you're just waiting for them to make a joke about themselves. I mean, the first comedian that I saw on TV, well, actually Paul Rodriguez, but I didn't identify with that kind of Latino. Now, this is another thing. It's kind of like you think there's politics in the gay community, there's politics in the Latino community because we're so many different kind of Latinos, Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. Colombian, Mexican, whatever. And then there's different kind of like Mexican comics. But when I saw Paul Rodriguez, I was like, I'm not that kind of Mexican. I don't understand what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that went out the window, but I was glad that a Latino was on TV. And then this guy, Willie Barcena, was in The Tonight Show, and I went, wow, cool, one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew Ellen, and I knew certain comedians must have been gay, you know, but I just, they didn't say that they were. Mm-hmm. But I really loved Bette Midler, and I loved Carol Burnett, and I loved Steve Martin, Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, you know, George Lopez and all these people. But when I moved here, I basically looked at how they formed a joke. Not so much the content, but how did they make people laugh?
Mm.
And then when Ellen came out and all these people came out, well, of course, it kind of, you know, lights a fire in your ass going, oh, me too.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with me is that I feel like, you know what? Okay. I look around, I go, there's not enough out gay comics, lesbian comics, let alone lesbian Latina comedians. I really found out and realized early on that I'm like, it's going to land on me. I mean, I know Mimi Gonzalez and Marga Gomez, with all respect, because I thought they were the best. That those are actually two of the people that I knew about when I was first being a comic.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who Marga Gomez was. But mostly, I didn't think she was a comedian. I thought she was like a performance artist. I saw her in Boston do a one-woman show, and I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Marga Gomez was one of the people that I was like, wow. And then I heard from Mimi Gonzalez, because I lived in Boston forever. I heard of Mimi Gonzalez on the West Coast, and I happened to be on a vacation with my girlfriend here, and I made her go to one of the Mimi Gonzalez shows because I just wanted to meet the other Latina, you know what I mean, that
mm-hmm.
was a lesbian comic.
Mm-hmm.
I never met her, but actually tomorrow she's picking me up, and we're going to P-Town, and we're doing a show together called Taco the Town. I mean, small world. We're best friends now.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and so basically, Mimi and I think very much alike. We're, you know, we're both Latina, we're both gay, and we're both Buddhists, actually. And so we were like, you know what, we should really, really take the world by storm and
mm-hmm.
and tour around. And we're planning a tour called Taco the Town.
Well, you know,
Taco the Town.
But it's just amazing what having you as a part of the Latina Divas of Comedy for Showtime is doing for visibility. And like you said, you know, you're performing in front of these 2,000 person crowds. Now, tell me, was the comedy in you, was the funny in you something that came from being from a funny family, or was it more nurtured by some sort of tough, torturous childhood that you had to find the funny in it? I mean, where do the roots of your comedy come from?
I think it was a little of both. My dad's very funny. My dad always told great stories. And my mother just loved to laugh. I mean, my parents were just very gregarious people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always saw how people would react to my dad's jokes. And I just thought, that's what a great thing, you know?
Yeah.
But also because I like making my parents laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that laughing is better than crying at
mm-hmm.
a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
But then in high school, because I was not out and not even knowing what the hell I was, I mean, I'm Mexican Catholic high school. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, well, I was picked on. Like, I was the pariah. I was picked on a lot. And so I thought, instead of, you know, kind of insulting them back, which, by the way, I control it really well, but if you piss me off, I can kill you with my words. And I don't want to do that. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think as comedians, we think really, really fast. And I found that out in a very early stage, where I was like, you know, I don't want to create more darkness. I was
mm-hmm.
very aware of even that. So I'll just make you laugh. I'll still kind of, you know, jab you back, but I'll make you laugh about it, and not, you don't know what hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that started way back in the day. I guess that's why I it's better if I made everyone laugh, and then, you know, the guilty party would just kind of stay stunned, like, what did she just say? But everybody else got my joke.
Yeah.
So instead of fighting with the bad words, I kind of fought back with jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Where?
And I thought, well, you know, laughing is much better. And I just like to laugh. And I'm always goofy. I really, really love to make people laugh. Love it.
So you're a big ham. That's what you're basically saying. You knew from an early age that you wanted to be somebody that, you know, got the applause that your mom always showed your dad.
Why are you putting words in my mouth? God's sake. So basically, you were like a big show-off. No, I'm not saying. Yes, basically, you were like, wait.
Yeah, but that's great. No, you know, some people come to their comedy from many, many, you know, different arenas. You kind of saw that your dad had this ability to make your mom applaud and laugh. And
I think making people laugh is something. Actually, making people laugh is harder than making you cry.
It's yeah.
Much yeah. harder to make you laugh than making you cry.
Yeah.
And so when you actually make people laugh and make them feel good, you know, and then later on, of course, when you get older, you realize, you know what? I can make you laugh and teach you something, too. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Where are you pulling your comedy?
Not everybody has that comedy.
Where are you pulling your comedy from these days? I mean, do you pull them from married life? Do you pull it from, you know, this White House administration? I mean, what's funny to you today that's going on that you're starting to use into your routines on a nightly basis?
Actually, it changes. Like right now, you know, sometimes we still have jokes you have to work on. You know, like I kind of miss being Latino and kind of the idiosyncrasies of growing up Latino and gay and my girlfriend and my family life with my girlfriend. I'm trying to incorporate my kids more. We have kids, 9 years old, 14, and 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not a kid. 21, that's not a kid. That's like a little a little person.
That's my driver. Yeah, that's my driver. Because that's the one that carries my shit. That's the good part about it. I'm like, oh, hey, Antoine, do you mind carrying my... Hey, drive me to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other kids are all boys, 14 and 9. And, I mean, they come up... Boys are weird. They come up with the weirdest things. And so I try to incorporate them a little bit more. I mean, we took Stone, the 9-year-old, to Long Beach Pride, and we warned him, you know, we're like, look, we're going to have crazy-looking people and fun people and normal-looking people. You get all kinds at a Pride. I said, you might see, you know, bare, hairy ass hanging out, and you might see very dangling breasts hanging out. Don't point, don't stare, don't make a word, don't say a word, just keep walking. He's like, fine. So we're out there. My girlfriend and I had a vending booth because she has a clothing line called the Dewberries. But we're actually opening up a store in L.A., which, anyway... So we were vending at Long Beach Pride, you know, accessories and all these things. And Stone was just kind of hanging out there being really bored. So one of the people that was vending creams, who's a friend of ours, like body creams, was really, like, not selling anything because it was so hot. Everything was melting. So she kept coming over and complaining to me and my girlfriend, complaining. And Stone, out of nowhere, grabs the cream and he goes, give me a cream. Give me a good one. Give me a good solid cream. And she gives him one. He's 9. He goes up to these drunken lesbians. He's all, do you all like going to Hawaii? Out of nowhere. And they go, yes. He goes, sit down. He pulls up a chair. He goes, imagine a hot chick comes up to you. Close your eyes. And she's rubbing this on you. And he puts the cream under her nose. And he grabs the other drunken lesbian. And he goes, here, put this on her arm. He sold like 3 or 4 creams for a lady. And he got a tip from them. So the next day, I took him out from school, and he goes, I have money. Let's go buy Skittles, okay? And I go, where did you get money? He goes, from the drunken lesbians. I'm like, please don't say that out loud. He goes, I like drunk lesbians. I'm like, no, please don't say that out loud.
Oh, my gosh. Don't train them that young, Sandra. Don't train them that young.
I didn't say anything, but he's just funny. I mean, he's just a funny kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a really, really funny kid. He comes up to me, you know. You know when Farrah Fawcett died?
When who?
God rest your soul.
Yeah, Farrah Fawcett.
I'm sorry that Farrah Fawcett died, but what's an anus? I said, it's your butthole. He goes, okay. And he comes back and he goes, hey, what does it look like? I don't know. They're all different. Can you figure it out? How am I supposed to do that? I said, grab a mirror or something, dude. He left for an hour somewhere. Then he comes back and I go, you got it figured out? He goes, yep. I'm like, oh, whose mirror did you use? He goes, yours. I'm like, oh, you can keep it. I don't know what. Like, what? They're these funny kids. They're very funny kids.
Yeah, yeah. What have you performed with Poppy and Vicky before? They've both been to Chicago and are, you know, have been to our city many times individually. And Poppy's been here with the Queer Queens the past few years. What's this show going to be like for the three of you ladies?
Hey, this show, yes, I perform with Poppy and Vicky many times. Sometimes just me and Poppy, sometimes me and Vicky in another show. We do P-Town together. I mean, we did the Queer Queens of Comedy in Dallas not too long ago, I guess a couple years ago, and that killed. you know, because Vicky's from I think Houston or Texas, but I'm from Texas too. And then Poppy is just crazy.
Yeah.
And we always, I mean, I said to Poppy, I'm like, you're lucky I don't tell road stories. Hilarious about you. We just did the Queer Queens of Comedy in San Francisco, sold out. I just performed with Poppy. It was they're just hysterical. This show is like, I'm going to sing, you know, because I used to be in an R&B band. Poppy sings kind of song parodies, and Vicky is just hilarious. I love the way she talks about her kids, you know, and how her grandkids, how she's like, I'm just going to slap them or spank them. Do you know that when me and Poppy did Queer Queens of Comedy in, where was it, San Jose, Santa Cruz, somewhere, the lesbians told me, yeah, you cannot talk about this, and this. Like, I couldn't even say, like, yeah, you know, California enacted a, you know, hands-free law, which is great because I can whip my kids in the back seat. Obviously, I don't do that, but I think it's funny.
Right.
They're like, yeah, because when Vicky Shaw was here, it just, you know, it triggers abuse and it triggers. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a joke. Shut
lesbians
the fuck up.
Like, take themselves very seriously. I would imagine that we're a tough crowd, right?
I performed with Poppy at Michigan Women's Festival. Let me tell you, that Michigan Women's Festival, I'll never be asked back because I said dildo and penis. And Poppy was like, yeah, you know, you're really, you can't say that. You gotta kind of say it. I'm like, Poppy, I want to say dildo and penis because if it wasn't for a penis, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. You got to keep it a little more PC on the land. Isn't that what they call it? The land?
Oh, it's the land. Guys, it's the land.
The land.
Yeah, but I said, I made a joke about something or other, and they were like, yeah, boo. And then I made a joke about the bathrooms. I said, what's with the porta potties? Because they're called Porta John, but they couldn't be called Porta John because it's a man's name.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Porta Jane, and the Janes got mad because why the fuck are you calling it a bathroom, right? So then I made a joke, and I went, what's with you? Come on. What do you think the lazy Susans of the world feel like? I think that's a fool. I was like, come on.
I think that's
a good one. And Poppy's like, yeah, I don't know. You shouldn't have said that. I don't know. I'm like,
you three are so different that it's going to be a very, I mean, you're all lesbians, but you're all very different perspective and all very funny. So that is going to be a great few nights of shows kicking off for us for the middle of Pride Week.
I've been in Chicago many times as well. I performed at the Chicago Center for the Arts. I performed with Hola Productions, Alma Izquierdo, and Oli Dominguez were the ones. Alma Izquierdo, actually, I wanted to shout out to Alma because she's been an amazing driving PR force for us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've sold out Joe's. I mean, 600 lesbians. I needed bodyguards. I'm like, come on, that's exaggerated. Bodyguards, and my girlfriend and I were like, they're just trying to make you feel a good day, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I did need bodyguards. I had these two huge guys and these crazy lesbians were like coming at us. I was like, that's actually cool.
Yeah.
But kind of scary.
Well, I think of the lesbians are going to come out because all the queens are going to be here. And we're talking about the Queer Queens of Comedy, Poppy Shamplin, Vicky Shaw, and Sandra Valls, who we've been enjoying here today. Come out and see them, guys and gals. They love the gay men to be there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Gay men, yeah. That's so important to us because in our Gay and Lesbian Comedy Special, Pride Gay and Lesbian Comedy Special, coming out on June 2nd on Showtime, Poppy and I are it's me and Poppy, Alec Mappa, and Scott Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two and two.
Brilliant.
But all of us appeal to the gay community, not just lesbians. We don't talk about just, you know, periods and, you know, vagina.
Yeah.
I don't even think we talk too girly. Our comedy is very universal. I mean, even straight people are all about us. You know, it's like they want to hear what we have to say. But guys, don't get turned off just because we're all women.
Absolutely.
We're all just a different kind of lesbian humor. It's not like, you know, and my wife with my cat, you know, no, it's not Birkenstock.
Oh, no. What I love about all three of you is you're all unapologetic and very real and have a lot of opinions on whatever you're talking about. And it's going to be a strong, strong show. And I don't want any of you to miss it. And so you're going to want to get your tickets soon because they're only here for 3 days only, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, June 14th through 16th.
Days. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, June 14th through the 16th, 8 o'clock at Zany's Comedy Nightclub. That's the Zany's in Chicago, 1548 North Wells Street. And if you want tickets, you can go to chicago.zanys.com. And if you want more on Sandra, you can go to her website, welovesandra.com. Look for her special. That's going to be on Showtime Pride, the Gay and Lesbian Comedy Slam. Sandra, we're so glad that you're coming to town and kicking off Pride Month in style.
I hope it wasn't too serious. My interview wasn't too serious. You cut me on a kind of
I think we've talked about
side.
Anuses and penises and dildos and two fingers. I don't think it was that serious at all.
I'm just saying, I'm not too crass. I'm not too funny in the morning when I just wake up. I'm starting to wake up right now, and now it's over. Damn.
Well, we're going to want you to throw it all on the stage, Sandra. Everybody go see the Queer Queens of Comedy Monday.
One more thing before we go. It's so important that gay and lesbian support this show because it is in a quote-unquote straight bar, Zany's, and we're trying to infiltrate more gay and lesbian comedy in these comedy clubs.
Yeah.
And so the only way that we do that, it's not like, oh, that was so great, is actual numbers. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's all they care about. If we sold the numbers, we sold the tickets, then they'll have more gay and lesbian comedy shows, which I think is just as important as the regular
Absolutely.
Show.
It's a political move to go, and you're going to laugh at the same time. So help support the GLBT community, show your pride during Pride Month, and head to Zany's. We're going to have the website for Zany's linked so you can buy tickets directly through our show notes. So, Sandra, thanks so much, and we'll see you on stage
you,
in June.
Thank you. Thank you, babe.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, I hope everybody is so excited about kicking off their Pride Month in style. No matter what events you choose to participate in, there are so, so many. So there's no excuse to not be out and proud and right in the middle of things this Pride Month if you live in the city of Chicago or near the city of Chicago. And if you listen to this podcast from another city, small town, maybe it's an opportunity for a trip to come to a big city and be somewhere where you feel like you can express yourself. Or maybe you just want to get together with other GLBT people in your hometown and really just find a unique way to celebrate what is Gay Pride Month. It's very exciting and always such an opportunity to see how much this community has to offer the world. We really do. We really are everywhere. And somehow watching the parade, which will happen here at the end of the month, always just reminds me of the vast size of our community and just how joyous we are, how much we have to give to our communities, and how embedded we already are in our communities. So celebrate your pride. I'll try to continue to tell you what's going on this whole month in our upcoming podcasts. And I hope you have a great, great week. It's a short one for all of us because we had that lovely Monday off, or I hope you did. Talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.